Welcome to another episode of the official catch-up, and today we're joined by Bonnie Rigg, Rose Treasurer, Brendan. How are you doing today, Brendan?
I'm fine, Sean. Glad to be on the show. As you know, big fan. You've done a great last couple of years in promoting the league, so yeah, happy to be on.
Absolutely, it's great to have you guys on as well, because we do our best to try and promote the league, but it's it takes two to tango, and it's always good when we've got clubs out there that cooperate, and you guys are always, you've always been totally supportive. So yeah, thank you as well yourself. Amidst everything that's going on just now, and a big talking point is what's happening in the Lowland League, or up the top end of it. We wanted to get you on and get some of your thoughts around that. But before we get on to that, I just want to find out a little bit more about yourself and I suppose your background and what you do for the club, because I think our listeners are always interested to find out what our guests get up to. So, treasurer at Bonnie Rigg Rose, what exactly does that entail? What's your normal week look like when we're not in lockdown?
Well, we're a small band of committee, as a lot of clubs are at this level. I've been involved with Bonnie Rigg since 2009, so I went in just generally along with what's now the current chairman, Charlie Kirkwood, and a couple of other lads, just to help out. I think it was fair to say the club weren't in a great state at the time. So there was a bit of a change in personnel, and later on that year I volunteered to be treasurer. My background is finance. I've scratched a living for the last 20 years working in finance industry. I went in to help from a financial perspective, because as I said, the club weren't in a great position at the time. Just basically to try and get them on an even keel. Little did I know I would be still knocking around at what's now 11 seasons later. But there you go. I was only meant to go in and give a hand for a few months.
And I suppose that's one of the brilliant things about these these local football teams, like your Bonnie Rigg Rose and a lot of the other sides down in the Lowland League, is, it's made up by people who are, you're there because you enjoy it, you're there because you're passionate about the club, and I suppose that's what makes it special. So you said obviously Rose have gone on a bit of a journey over the last sort of 10 years. What have been some of the most memorable things for you, I suppose, to support them?
Well, we've been quite lucky. The two big times in Rose's history, and will be 140 years next year, we'll celebrate 140 years, were obviously the two junior cup wins, and that's what people will tell us were the stick-out moments in over the course of the last 140 years, and 66 and 78. But if I look back in the last decade, certainly from a league perspective, what we've done over the last decade has been unparalleled in the previous 130, we've had four Super League titles, an East of Scotland title. We've had a couple of decent cup runs in the Scottish Cup, the Big Scottish Cup, as we used to call it, because we obviously had the Junior Cup. We've went close in a couple of Junior Cups, got to the semi final a couple of times. Obviously, beating Dumbarton, league championships apart. Beating Dumbarton was a great night through there in a replay, and then playing in front of 12,500 as our in inverted commas home game at Tynecastle, because we had to shift it from New Dundas. I mean, we sold, just for context, it took us one day to sell 3,500 tickets for that, and we were given an additional 1,500 tickets, and they went in 3 hours. So to have 5,000 of our own fans playing Hibs was, there are days like that don't forget. Even this year, obviously beating the two Highland League leaders at the time, Fraserburgh and then Buckie, and then beating Montrose, who were absolutely flying before they came to our place, and were flying after they came to our place, and running Clyde close. There's been loads. I mean, as I say, numerous to mention. There'll be lots of fans that'll have their different picks, but winning any league at any level is brilliant. And for me to have seen five in my time, happy with that. If I was to finish up tomorrow, I'd be happy with what we've done over the last decade.
Absolutely, and you're right that it's got quite a recent history in Bonnyrigg. It's been quite a successful one, definitely be a joy to be part of. Before everything happened that we're seeing this year, as far as sort of controversies go, Bonnyrigg were involved in one of the big ones when you were almost denied the opportunity to come up to the Lowland League last year.
We were.
That must have been quite a big thing for yourself, because you had to, you know, raise the funds to make the changes at, well, I would say short notice, but I think it was at no notice, to be honest. How much of a challenge did you find? How did you find that?
We've been, Sean, to have the backing, certainly in my time, and that's only increased over the course of the last few years, of good people in the town. I mean, we've had really good sponsors. We did a couple of fundraisers. I trundled around as fast as I possibly could. Edinburgh Half Marathon last year, that raised a few pounds. We had a couple of other bits and pieces of things to raise money for it. But yeah, our sponsors came together, our supporters came together. I mean, our sponsors, our main sponsors, Grant Fitzsimmons, they were the main contractors in getting the floodlights in. So along with some help from our own committee and from electrical contractors, I mean, it took us 2 weeks from start to finish to put floodlights in, which is, you know, it's unheard of. And it was sort of, okay, we were set a challenge, and what our committee, it's time and time again, is if we're set a challenge, we'll step up to the plate and we'll meet it. So it was a great thing to do. Obviously, we had support from yourselves and football clubs, both league and non-league, right around the country. I mean, the messages we received were absolutely crazy around campaigns from X, Y, and Z. It was in the Scottish Parliament. It was raised as part of First Minister Questions. I mean, the backing we got was unbelievable, actually, for a club of our size. I mean, in the end, natural justice was served, and we managed to get in. And to be honest, we've not made a bad fist of a first season in the Lowland League, all things considered.
No, you absolutely haven't. You've definitely sort of solidified your place in the Lowland pretty quick. So we started sort of covering the Lowland League last season, and we sort of saw Kelty Hearts do what Bonnyrigg did this season. They rose up to the top, and then they hit a sort of stumbling block about midway through the season. So when we witnessed Bonnyrigg coming up, you could have sort of thought maybe the same thing might happen, but it absolutely hasn't, and it's continued right through to when the season was, you know, called. How did you find that first season? Was it your expectation to go up and do as well as you did, or do you think you've exceeded it a little bit?
Well, with me personally, I think we've exceeded it. Is it a surprise? Well, no, not really, because we've pretty much, and you guys have mentioned it several times, we've retained, by and large, the same squad, the same nucleus of players, which we've had for a few years now. And with any sort of team that's used to winning, you get that mentality and you build a momentum. I mean, I've been, as part of trying to keep content going, I've been putting up old videos or archive footage of when we were playing in 2016 and 2017 and stuff like that. And if you look through the side, you're talking 7, 8, 9, 10 of the squad were there back when we won our first league title, you know, or when Robbie won his first league title back in 15-16. So yeah, I think winning breeds a winning mentality. So have we overachieved? Probably. Am I surprised we did? Yeah, but if you were to ask the players and the manager, they would say no, not at all. I know you've had Johnny Stewart on a few weeks ago, and he was saying no, it's not a great surprise, and it's a great thing to have and to hear that from the squad, because they'll always back themselves. As you know, you've heard from both the manager and Johnny, the boys are a tight knit group, and we're a tight knit unit. Full stop. I mean, I'll have, Charlie will have. regular dialogue with players. We'll send them the odd message now and again, which is important at these times when we can't all meet face to face. But myself, Charlie, Bob, our secretary, Robbie and Davy Burl, assistant manager, are in conversation via our group chat several times a day, every day. So you know, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things I sort of took note of when I was watching the season was your success in the cup competitions. Obviously, we spoke about the Scottish Cup already, but there was other cup games around the league that you were having a wee bit of success. Do you think that build-up of fixtures was putting a bit of pressure, or is it something that's been sort of just in their stride, is that, you know, some more trophies to...
I don't think so. And if you look at the fixtures, again, particularly last year we were at the back end of every cup competition, and when we were junior, you're talking about we're playing upwards of 50 games a season. So we weren't going to get anywhere near that this season, because DC Scotland, I suppose, looked at what happened to us last year and went, well, okay, with the amount of teams we've got here now, we probably need to reduce the cups. And certainly in the East of Scotland League side, they're limiting different cups, and the teams that play in the East of Scotland League this year playing less cups than what we did last year. But no, I don't think an accumulation of fixtures. You remember yourselves from when Kelty and ourselves were in the juniors, we'd have we're playing 9-10 games in April and May, and we'd be well into the middle of June when we were playing. So again, with the bunch of boys that we have, it wouldn't have been anything foreign to what they've been used to be honest.
No, absolutely. And we'll talk a wee bit more about Bonnie Rigros shortly, about, you know, the ambition for next season, and to be honest, the thoughts on the end of this season. But I have to apologise, I should have just at the beginning that we're also joined by Chris today as well. And I suppose at this point I'll just ask Chris if he's got anything he sort of wants to add in, and I know Chris is, you know, he's got all his thoughts about, same as everybody to be honest, everything that's going on just now with the votes and the way the season's ending. I'll see if he wants to jump in and ask any questions on that just now.
Yeah, Sean, don't worry, I've probably been introduced a lot doing morning chats and whatnot, but no, I think we've given obviously credit to Kelty for winning or being declared as champions, if you will. But I think had it been the other way with Bonnyrigg, I think it would have been the exact same. I know Kelty, obviously, you know, working for the club, I put in a lot of hard work, but I think it would have been the same for Bonnyrigg. I think it's disappointing for you guys, obviously, not having the chance, how close it was with the game in hand and then the game at New Dundas Park to be played. But I think what I like seeing from Bonnyrigg, and I know it's one of the reasons we have you on, Brendan, but... especially Robbie Horne's statement afterwards, basically, we've kind of went to a point where it's kind of similar I think it's similar to what we had last season with the SFA licensing issue with your club. We're kind of pushing possibly for the likes of Kelty and Brora to go up, and I think it would be an injustice if they weren't to. What are your sort of feelings on that sort of side of things? It seems to me like, obviously, well, Bonnyrigg and Kelty have a rivalry, but it seemed quite, you know, really joint from non-league at the moment in terms of wanting to push Kelty and Brora up to SPFL.
Absolutely. I suppose I can take that into different parts, Chris. With ourselves, obviously, we were disappointed that the season's finished. But listen, there's a massive external factor as to why that's been the case.
And yep.
make no bones about that. Obviously, we had... six games left, five of them were at home. I think I saw something the other night from Ryan Kelly, who you'll know from Twitter. I think both ourselves and Kelty have lost six home league games since the start of the 15-16 season, which is a phenomenal record for both clubs.
Yeah.
Now, we're 6 points behind, we've got a game in hand, five of those games are at home. Yeah, it's disappointing the way it was finished. But listen, it's outside of our hands. If obviously, I put in our statement, we weren't pleased with the way it was handled, and that it was a board decision rather than a members' decision. But to be honest with you, I also put out in the statement that had it went to a members' vote, we expect the decision to have been exactly the same. You know, you count up all of the different members of the board that represent clubs, and you look at the guys in the relegation positions. Obviously, Kelty have a vote; they can vote for themselves. So yeah, just doing the maths on it, and the conclusion would have been the same. And I don't think we've any argument about that. In terms of the rivalry, yeah, of course the rivalry, because we swapped Super League titles when we were junior clubs.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kelty led the march to the east of Scotland, and we followed suit afterwards. But it's a rivalry that starts and finishes on the pitch. I mean, clubs at this level, and I can quote loads of examples of where clubs at this level, at least behind the scenes, help each other out. I'll give you an example of when we were the first one of our cup games, the Bucky Thistle game. Yeah, the first of our three Scottish Cup games. We were going to go all ticket. We'd obviously never went all ticket for a game before. We knew that Kelty had went all ticket for the game against Auchinleck.
Yeah.
So, quick text to Dean. Dean, who'd you use to get your tickets from? Quick text back. Simple as that. 2-minute job. We had a ticket supplier, which we duly passed on to Linlithgow for their game against Falkirk. And that's the way clubs work. And they've got to work that way, Chris. And it's the only way. We're here to help each other out at the end of the day. And do you know what? I think the move to juniors to East of Scotland last year for us and for a lot of others, you find that's actually happening a lot more. So if I go back in the past when we were juniors, we'd probably have dialogue with two or three clubs that would be local to us, and maybe the occasional other club. But I think clubs at non-league level communicate a lot more with each other than they used to. Certainly, that's my experience.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, that's excellent, and it's pretty much a similar experience. I've seen, you know, not just at Kelty, but other clubs I've went and saw. I've seen the sort of, you know, the board committee members all talking to each other, keeping up with each other. So yeah, really good, obviously, sentiments and stuff. But I think, you know, just to my final point on, obviously, SPFL reconstruction, that's what I like to see from, you know, obviously your fans were a wee bit disappointed and stuff and the squad, but it does seem like there's a unity in non-league at the moment for pushing SPFL reconstruction in our favour, I think.
100%, and why not? Because there's a... Whatever happens can set a precedent for future years. You know what I mean? I mean, if you take a step back and go way back to the conversations that were starting when Hearts were coming out with potential legal action before the reconstruction group had ever been put together, and there was talk about reconstruction had been spoken about previously, and there was a real opportunity to do that now. I mean, what it looks like what we're ending up now with is at best a stick and plaster, and at worst a carve up. You know, one of the criticisms waved at the juniors was there was a glass ceiling. It looks at the moment that we've swapped, and all of the guys that have moved across into the seniors have swapped one glass ceiling for another. If reconstruction means a status quo, as you'd be aware, playoffs in the league have been cancelled, and that's within the gift of the SPFL to do that for Championship and League One. But as far as I'm led to believe, and I don't believe anything has changed, it needs an agreement from both the Highland League and Lowland League to cancel the playoffs between Highland, Lowland and Club 42, along with the SPFL.
I was just going to, obviously, I think you heard the Barry Ferguson interview, and one of the questions, obviously, one of the things I put to him was obviously the Stenhouse Muir chairman, who Derek's, you know, chatted to. I'm interested, obviously, I think Barry's answer to, you know, no promotion for another 2 years in the Highland or Lowland, you know, he basically said, well, what would be the point? In terms of, your role as a treasurer, would you expect to see declining attendances, players maybe perhaps not wanting to play for a lower league team if this opportunity gets taken away?
It's a tough one. Just looking at the financials. If I take the finances and looking from a financial background, I mean, apparently no club was meant to be financially disadvantaged as a result of reconstruction, and calling the leagues early, and the fact that the league had been called early by our board, and if we don't get included as part of reconstruction, and the same will be for if Kelty and Brora don't get an opportunity to go up, you're talking about £60,000 when you talk about league prize money and league cup prize money. Now, that's without winning a game. that's huge. It's certainly huge for a club of our size. If I compare that to the vote which the SPFL clubs had to call the league early, which allegedly was primarily driven by payments to lower league clubs, but at least I've seen two of those league clubs come out and say that payments received wouldn't cover a week's wages. You know, we've seen terms like financial apartheid used by lower league chairman when talking about the leagues above, but sort of the irony isn't lost on us with statements like that because of, well, collusion between those clubs before the reconstruction group are even given a chance to view all of the options available. That's exactly what they're trying to do on the leagues below in our league.
Yeah, exactly. And you obviously mentioned it, but he's also had, you know, five league games at home.
Yeah, and you know what? Two of those were big ones. I mean, there was 1,500 odds at the Kelty. There was 1,500 odds at New Central Park, and we would have expected something similar at New Dundas. I mean, all things been equal, and we were still in with a shout of winning the league. We were due to host Berwick. It was the first time that Berwick would have been ever at our place, and we've got reasonably long historic and good ties with Berwick because of players that have moved back and forth, and was also part of the Groundhop weekend. So you're talking about another 1,000-4-figure number there for that. So yeah, we have. But we're not in a bad place. We've had a decent cup run this year, but we've had three home games, and there's a huge difference between being a home side and away side in the Scottish Cup, and we've been lucky. We've had three sellouts for that, and attendances of 1,700, 2,000, 2,200, and on each of those three occasions, we've had to turn people away. Which is a rare complaint in Scottish football, to be honest. But no, we're okay. As I say, we've to put a pound sign on what we've lost out with our home games and player of the year. I think I put something out last week. It was something in the region of 25,000. So yeah, it's not small numbers. Not for our size. I mean, a crowd of our size, we own our own ground. You know, we've got overheads. We don't rent it. We don't ground share. So you may have seen stuff coming out this week where I suppose we've got to call it post-season at this stage. We're doing post-season groundwork, which we've got to do. We've got the guys from Pro Turf Care doing what to do with sand splitting and stuff like that. And we've got our own guys, which are obviously free. They're sticking in a few extra dunes to counteract some of the problems we've had this year.
Yeah, I've saw on social media that the groundwork that's continuing, so it's good to see clubs, including yourself, making the most of, I suppose, this unwanted downtime. In addition to the groundwork, so I've saw many clubs, including yourself, you've been trying to help with the community and sort of do your bit through the crisis. What kind of things? What kind of things he's had going on at
Bonnyrigg during
this time?
Yeah, well, we've got a platinum community club, which at the very start of it, I was fortunate enough to chair. for the first 2 years. That was at the time. That was us, the seniors. That was the youth club. That was under 21s and another youth club, Lasswade Thistle. Because of issues with charitable status and us being a semi-pro club, we moved. The community club decision was to move to community club underneath the youth, and they've run with it and they've gone on leaps and bounds since. I mean, the community club right now have a food bank. They've set up a food bank. It's sort of a testament to the times that before all this happened, there wasn't a food bank in Bunnyrick, and there was two created within the space of a week. So another community group, Bunnyrick and Sherwood Community Development Trust, they run a charity shop on the main drag in Bunnyrick at Bunnyrick Toll. So we've given all of our refrigeration and freezer equipment to the community club, so they can keep refrigerated or perishable items fresh. And the charity shop, we're using our hospitality lounge as a temporary store for them while they repurpose their charity shop for a food bank. And you'll have seen yourself with the stuff that I've been putting out in social media, in that there's no football going on, so we've turned our social media channels to public information, if you like. So people that are providing local services, and you know what, we're agnostic of whether the business or the service is a sponsor or not. It really doesn't matter. It's for the greater good. So the likes of guys doing home deliveries or service X, Y, and Z, we're putting it out there because communication is difficult just now. So any comms that we can get out into the public domain, and if it helps one person, you know what, it's job done. It takes 10 minutes to create a post, as you guys know. So, or sorry, 10 seconds to create a post. So if that information that goes out into the public domain and it helps one person, then it's job done for our perspective. It certainly isn't a waste of my time.
So I suppose the last thing I kind of want to cover off with yourself is about next season and sort of what your ambitions are for the year ahead, whether Kelly are in there. There's another sort of really big junior, ex-junior club in Bowness that are going to be joining the league that are probably going to add a bit of excitement whether Kelly are in the league or not. But are you looking forward to the next season? Any big plans?
Well, I suppose to Chris's point on the reconstruction, we probably need to be sure on where we are. First of all, I mean, Bowness will be a great addition to the Lowland League. Very strong side. Their manager and assistant manager have both been with us. Max won the Super League with us in 2012. Ian Black, their assistant manager, won it with us, our first one in 2009. And they're a good side, like ourselves. They're a settled side. In terms of the reconstruction and what happens there, as I say, hopefully the Highland and the Lowland League use the fact that there's been no agreements to the playoffs as leverage. And again, as we said in our statement, we would hope that the leverage would be as a minimum. Both Kelty and Brora go upstairs. And if there's room for us, I mean, it seems to have went on to two different scenarios quite quickly before the reconstruction group has had a chance to actually go through all of the options. But do you know what? I'm less confident than I was before the reconstruction group started as to if we're going to be included in these things or not. But we certainly do hope that both Brora and Kelty are. I suppose if we're in the same league next year, then I suppose to your point, or both of you, I remember your podcast at the start of the season, lads. I remember where you predicted we would be. So I think we'll lose a bit of the surprise element, if you like. There's teams in the league that have got bigger resources than ours, and I imagine they'll have another right good go at it next year, but. We'll again, I don't think it'll be any great surprise to anyone to hear that we'll have pretty much the same squad as what we did this year. Managers, obviously, it's more difficult in these sort of times to add to the squad, but we'd certainly be looking to add maybe one or two, maybe three to the squad, but our nucleus will be the same as it has been for the last few years. I mean, if it isn't broken, don't fix it.
Oh, absolutely. And I see your point about our sort of early season predictions. It's, there's no doubt that Bonnyrigg have exceeded it a little bit there, but a wee bit of pressure for you guys is that I think he's will be up there as one of the favourites, if not me.
And see, that's what I was saying. We sort of lose the surprise element. But yeah, fair enough. I'm sure the lads have big enough shoulders to be able to take that mantle.
Absolutely, and I fully agree that I think Bonnyrigg has been in talks to move up. If there's a space for them, you know what, they'll fit in quite well if he's don't go up this. As part of the reconstruction, there's no doubt that he's going to be up there.
I mean, to Barry's point the other day, I mean, just expand the league. I mean, it's a simple principle. If the teams aren't good enough to be in the league, they get relegated. It's as simple as that. So if you look at what Cove and Edinburgh City have done, we would expect Kelty and Brora. And ourselves maybe not to strengthen the league, you know, but yeah, give them a shot. If they're not meant to be in that league, well, it's a simple solution: they get relegated. It's a principle that works almost everywhere else in every other league, so why not this one?
No, absolutely. I think you only have to look at Bonnyrigg's record against these clubs through the Scottish Cup run. They know that 100% they'd strengthen the league, and they will in years to come. I just want to wrap this up by saying thanks all for coming on. It's always great to chat to you, whether it's on the podcast or when we're along at New Dundas Park. And yeah, all the best for next season and I suppose the rest of this coronavirus lockdown.
Yeah, look after yourselves, lads, and thanks very much again for having me on. Pleasure.
Brilliant. Brendan, cheers for coming on.